from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum this morning, America's Cup. This summer's international sailing race begins in San Francisco in July, but private fundraisers at present are $18 million short. And if they don't raise the money, the city will be stuck for it. We'll find out all about it in our opening half hour. Then we discuss a new documentary, A Fierce Green Fire, which takes us through the history of the environmental movement. And we ask you, our listeners, who are your environmental heroes? Forum is next. After this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. America's Cup organizers are falling short in their efforts to raise private donations to help pay for the cost of bringing the America's Cup sailing competition to San Francisco. And that could leave the city on the hook for about $20 million. The Board of Supervisors holds hearings Wednesday to discuss the shortfall, and supporters say even without all of the promised private funds, the city still benefits financially from hosting the America's Cup. Joining us for this first half-hour segment to talk about this, John Avalos, member of the Supervisors of San Francisco, Board of Supervisors, District 11. That's the southernmost district in San Francisco. And Supervisor Avalos, good to have you with us. Good morning.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
And also we have Jane Sullivan here in studio, city spokesperson for the America's Cup. Welcome, Jane Sullivan.
Good morning. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you both for being here. And let me begin, if I may, John Avalos, with you. You actually have gone public and said you were ashamed, you were played, shouting it from the rooftops, as it were. But there were a lot of warnings. SF Weekly, Snitch said, Harvey Rose, the city controller, that is Ben Rosenfeld, the city controller, and Harvey Rose. Actually, I think Harvey Rose said not 1 cent is guaranteed. There was this word endeavor in the contract. And where was due diligence in that word endeavor, or wasn't it there?
Well, actually, I went back and reviewed the tape that in the budget committee, I was budget chair at the time. This is December of 2010, and verbally, I didn't hear the word endeavor. I heard the word best efforts or best practices. And, that was not sufficient enough typically to actually want to approve a project. And I'm not really happy with my performance at that time, to be honest. I felt that what was moving forward was potentially going to be a big hit to our general fund. And when that happens, we see a lot of services that are affected in our neighborhoods, especially the neighborhoods that are far away from where a lot of these events like the America's Cup or the Golden State Warriors or developing Moscone Center are happening.
If the city comes short on this, $18 million, it could be potentially even $20 million in this what has turned into kind of a fundraising fiasco, what does it mean? What does it mean to the city? What does it mean to taxpayers?
Well, it means that there's going to be part of our general fund dollars that will be subsidizing the event in greater amounts. I think that Jane will be talking about how the administration sees that we're actually scaling back. The event is not as big as we thought it was going to be. So the hit might not be as strong as we had expected. Also, they're going to say that, well, we're seeing economic benefit from the event as well, and we're going to see a greater boon to our revenue to the city, and that's going to be to the positive. But what I see is when we have new revenue coming in from events like this, a lot of that money gets recycled back, not in the neighborhoods far away from the events, but back into the paving the streets around close to the events, preparing the area for future events that happen like America's Cup. Or if we're looking at developing Moscone Center, that goes into paying the debt for Moscone Center, our general fund pays for the debt for these things. So we don't see, as we're making these investments, that the investments have a measurable impact and support for neighborhoods far from downtown San Francisco.
Well, you said publicly that you're angry, that you felt that you got gamed or taken. Why is that?
Well, I was more angry with myself, I would say.
You weren't conned in this, or you deceived?
No. I mean, it was full court press. I'm not sure what the actual pun would be for America's Cup sailing event, a full gale at us from all sides, biggest business interests, all of our city officials and the Office of Economic and Workforce Development and the mayor's office. There were city supervisors who saw that this was going to be a huge boon for many different things, politically, economically in San Francisco, and they wanted to be on that side of things. But I think it's important for people on the Board of Supervisors to ask questions, to kick the tires, to see what's really going on and how we can make sure we're doing our due diligence to prevent the city from being taken.
Which is why you've called for a hearing.
That's why I've called for a hearing. I think it's a check-in to make sure that we're living up to commitments that were made. So I'm looking at this hearing on Wednesday. I'll be doing 10 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday will be about how we've managed our fundraising effort through the America's Cub Organizing Committee. I'm also looking at the commitments that were made around local hiring and prevailing wage and how we're including small businesses in our projects that are funded by the event.
Again, Supervisor John Avalos, who is on the San Francisco Board of Supervisors representing District 11 here in studio, and Jane Sullivan's also here, city spokesperson for the America's Cup. Well, you went knocking on the doors of a lot of these businesses that were after the Board of Supervisors to approve this thing. They've not put up the money that was anticipated, but I know that Mayor Lee is still, well, not only Mayor Lee, but, excuse me, Senator Feinstein and Congresswoman Pelosi are still at it in terms of knocking on doors, and Supervisor Chu trying to get this money. Mark Buell keeps saying, we're near. How near?
We are very near. And as Supervisor Avalos said, that, you know, our costs are coming down. The city's been really conscious of trying to plan so that we don't overextend ourselves, but we can meet the needs of the visitors and the teams. And tomorrow at the hearing, we'll hear that actually the between the costs coming down and the successes, such as they are, of the fundraising, that the nut is getting very small. And we are no longer talking anywhere near $18 or $20 million, potentially, as a whole. It's much less than that. And I think that, you know, the demise of these races,
if I may ask,
significantly less, significantly less.
And you've got
I've seen about $10 million less. It's $22 million was given to me yesterday as a preliminary figure what it would cost for the city to put on the full events.
Well, that's sounding a lot better, I'm sure, to people. But they've downsized the number of teams from 12 to 3 in terms of qualified. That should bring costs down, too.
It's brought costs down considerably. It has. But I would just like to point out that everyone is talking about the failure of an event that has yet to happen. You know, I understand the concerns. We look forward to, you know, having this hearing tomorrow. But this event doesn't start for another 3.5 months. So while I understand people's concern as we're moving towards it, we have time and there's a lot still to come.
It's actually a failure of meeting our fundraising goals is what we're failing at. And
understood.
Since last year to this year, we've only raised about $1.5 million more. Last year, we were at $12 million. We have about $13 million that's in right now. So we haven't done well since we've been putting pressure on the organizing committee since last year to actually benefit greater in our fundraising effort.
Anybody been knocking on Larry Ellison's door? I mean, this is a big event for him, and this has always been a big event for him. And
well, it's a race that has a big benefit to a billionaire. You think a billionaire would be able to fund a little bit better the city's effort to make it happen.
Jane Sullivan?
Mm-hmm.
Have anybody asked Larry Ellison to contribute here?
I have not been into any of those conversations with Larry Ellison, but I do know that there is a very significant effort going on, as you mentioned, our political leaders. And, you know, Mark Buell is right. We are confident that we're going to close that nut.
If you only have three in the race now, will that bring in less tourists? Will that bring in less revenue?
Yes, and part of the discussion tomorrow is going to be the reduced economic impacts as a result of that. And also, let's remember, when we started this planning for this event, there was a long-term development deal that was part of that. So a lot of the changes that have happened in the scaling back of the economic impacts have to do with that the vastly different plan for the event.
From what I read, a lot was based on future sales when the money was essentially laid out, when the plans were laid out in terms of fundraising and so forth. So there's a great deal, in other words, attached to the likelihood that this is going to bring in a lot of money. And there's a good deal of sanguine feeling about that.
Yeah. Yes, there is. And I think that there's also, you know, this sort of civic engagement and the legacy of someplace like San Francisco being able to host an international event like this. You know, this is a wholesale rebranding of a 160-year-old sport. First time it's going to be able to be viewed from water. So it's, you know, the event organizers have also been learning as they've been planning this event and San Francisco has been responding. But I think, again, just to stress that we haven't even held this event yet, that not just the economic benefits, but the sustainability, the legacy of that. You know, we have a zero waste policy now in the port for all their events that didn't exist before. We have clean power out at Pier 70. You know, there's a lot of long-term benefits that'll happen from this event that, you know, may not be very glamorous and may not be as fun as going after a billionaire, but are really going to improve the Bay Area for years to come.
All right, I want to open the phone lines. This is a half-hour segment, so I'd like listeners to weigh in on this, and many of you may have questions about the upcoming America's Cup and how it's going to be funded, and questions questions about the actual yacht race itself, the regatta. If you do, we certainly welcome your involvement in this program, and let me tell you how you can join us. Our toll-free number is available now. It's 866-733-6786, and we do invite you to join us at that number, toll-free, 866-733-6786. If you have something, again, that you'd like to contribute to the conversation or you have questions or comments, the time to call would be now. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment, or write anything that you have to say on our Facebook page or tweet us, our Twitter handle, @KQEDForum. And talking with Jane Sullivan, who is a city spokesperson for America's Cup, and John Avalos, supervisor from District 11. Supervisor Avalos, what would you like to see come out of this hearing tomorrow?
Well, I'd like to see – I think the hearing really serves the purpose of checking in to see how we're meeting our commitments, or the authorities meeting its commitments, in terms of raising money for the event, in terms of meeting our needs around prevailing wage that was promised for workers building sites for the event. I think it's important that we do our due diligence to see how we're doing.
Let me go to some web comments here. A listener writes, I'm torn between the cheap thrill of I told you so schadenfreude and the morose feeling that comes from realizing San Francisco is too hopped up on Wellbutrin to be angry if it got renamed by another billionaire. Another listener says, so even San Francisco is doing corporate welfare. Larry Ellison is among the top 10 richest in the world, I'm sure, but he can't be bothered making up the shortfall. He's too busy creating jobs. And James tweets, I like the America's Cup, but the brand didn't engage or hire the non-sailing public from the get-go. Excuse me, it has a UK power base, plus Ellison keeps it upstairs, downstairs. You're nodding your head, Jane Sullivan.
Well, I think that you know, some of that is right on, that, you know, the last time that this event was hosted, they had the King of Spain as the person, you know, making things happen for them. So it has been an adjustment to come to San Francisco and, you know, meet with a variety of requests that are being made. But I would like to say to Supervisor Avalos's point about prevailing wage is a perfect example. When we started, you know, the preliminary races last year, we had to figure out what it meant. This is the first time to apply construction prevailing wages. So there was a little bit of time to get ramped up, but we just recently had an MOU. A lot of the stage work that will be done, the construction this summer, will be prevailing wage. So I think that there are successes. They took a little while to get to, but the first time you do something, it does take a little while to get it.
Well, Mayor Lee was really hyped up about this. I mean, he's been behind it from the get-go. Why?
It's a great thing for the city. It's a great thing for visitors. It's a great thing for the people who live here. You know, our waterfront is one of the great beauties of the entire country. To have this focus on it for 3 months this summer, I think it's a wonderful thing. We like a spectacle here in San Francisco. We think of ourselves, I think, as an international city that should be hosting this level of event.
I think it's a great thing for the Larry Ellison, for big businesses, for the hotels. They're going to see some, you know, benefit from this. There are going to be some people who are going to get jobs, perhaps, from this, and we're going to see some development of our port from the event. That is actually kind of isolated, though, to a certain part of the city. It's not a place where a lot of people in my district actually visit and go to. Might work there. The measure of jobs that are going to be created aren't so great. We haven't had a real strong effort of measuring like long-term jobs. A lot of the benefit we're going to see is temporary or increase overtime for service workers. So it's really going to be a trickle-down effect on the overall San Francisco, and it's going to be a big benefit for some of the biggest economic interests in the world.
Never heard. I thought I hear you, Supervisor Avalos, talking about trickle-down economics. That's Margaret Thatcher's.
Not in a good way.
Let me get our callers in here. And Heather, you're first up. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. Good morning. The reason why I'm calling, I was involved in the planning process of the America's Cup in October, and I'm involved a little bit now in the upcoming summer. And the thing that I am disappointed about the most is that while I can't disagree with what is being talked about here, the marketing and the press around the America's Cup, I think, has been so weak. If you think about it, the San Francisco Giants were in the World Series, and I remember watching those games thinking, there's not one sign that's talking about the America's Cup. We were in the Super Bowl. There's not one bit of information saying, come to San Francisco, you know, the America's Cup is going to be here. There just hasn't been anything. And while all of this talk is, I agree with all of it, it's not going anywhere. It's not trickling down anywhere, and no one knows that the America's Cup is going to be here.
Shane Sullivan, failure in marketing, failure in promotion, PR?
I think they've struggled. I think the brand has struggled, definitely. And I think that the difficulties in, you know, the number of teams and all the sort of controversy surrounding it has impacted that for sure. But I do know that last summer's races, we did some casual surveying and people, you know, how did you find out about the cup? It's everywhere. So, you know, thanks, Heather. I'm a marketing person, too. I feel your pain, but I do think that there is awareness. And I think that we start seeing these boats out there this summer. You know, they're practicing now that their people will become more excited. But just to back to Supervisor Avalos's previous point, you know, there are things that are happening. We're working with the Treasure Island Sailing Group to get all middle schoolers out and sailing. You know, there are a lot of youth involvement programs that will be going out into the neighborhoods. I don't think it is exclusively going to benefit that port. I think that you're going
to
see a lot of engagement.
For yacht racing, what was done to soccer? Along those lines?
You know, sailing is a great thing for youth. I don't know if anybody's ever been out in the water. You learn a lot about yourself. There's the Downtown Academy has a boat building program. So there's a lot of things we are touching a lot of youth.
Let me ask you, keep talking in the microphone.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's okay. I want to get to another caller, though, and that's a caller from Park City, Utah. Jim, you're on.
Well, a couple of things. I mean, Jane makes a good point about it's the first America's Cup that can be viewed from the shores. It's what the late Tom Blackaller, sailing out of St. Francis Yacht Club, dreamt about back in 86 when he and Kayard were sailing for St. Francis. I was at Newport, I was in San Diego, I was in Perth, and the magic of the America's Cup and the event are the 10 or 12 teams competing first in the Louis Vuitton Challenger, then in the Defenders Series. We had four for the Defenders when we were in Perth at Royal Perth Yacht Club. All of the teams, all of the flags, the nationalism, and the last America's Cup anybody cared about was in New Zealand in 2000 on ESPN. When they took it to Spain, it was a joke. It was on the Internet. There was no more live TV. And they really have killed the event by reducing it to just three teams. If there were 10 or 12 teams in San Francisco and all of the international press were here and cared about it, it could be a great event. But with three teams, it's going to be back like it was in Spain, and it's going to be a who cares kind of event, and it's a shame because it used to be a magnificent spectacle, and it rebuilt the Auckland Harbor. Sir Peter Blake and what they did down in Auckland was magnificent, and you had the chance to do the same thing in San Francisco.
Jim, let me thank you for that informed call, and I'm going to ask Jane Sullivan, why was it scaled down? I'm sure listeners want to know.
Well, I think part of it, you know, we had this thing called the global financial crisis a few years back, which definitely impacted the ability to get teams together, you know, to mount these kinds of things. But I would just like to take a little bit of issue with Jim that the idea of 13-story buildings going 50 miles an hour along the coast of San Francisco Bay being ho-hum is a little hard to imagine.
Well, let me thank Jim for the call. Supervisor
Evans. This was back in December of 2010. It was talked about that the America's Cup event was the next biggest sporting event after the Olympics. I didn't believe that at that time, and I certainly don't believe that now. We don't have people in the neighborhoods of San Francisco, be it the Mission, Sunset, or Excelsior, talking in cafes about the America's Cup that's going on. Might happen, and doesn't happen in a lot of places in San Francisco. Just doesn't have that kind of fervor about it. I think it's a exciting event, exciting to see yachts like that. I actually went on the bay to see it, but my impression was it didn't have that kind of draw and that kind of way it was sold to the people of San Francisco.
Well, you want to hear how somebody responds. Here's Kim, who's along the lines. Says, I'm a sailor and sailboat owner. Even for me, there's little interest in a race financed by super wealthy people hiring a crew of sailors. Watching this event on TV is akin to watching paint dry. I don't think anyone could see anything of interest from shore. It was a bad idea from the get-go to be financially responsible. Another person weighing in here, sent from his iPhone, Jim says, the Board of Supervisors gave away development rights on the Embarcadero in conjunction with the America's Cup. Now that the city is on the hook for a fundraising short, all of the development rights should be rescinded.
We actually didn't give away development rights. That's one thing I didn't I refused
to do. You got
taken,
but not taken that badly, just for the record.
Yeah.
Robert writes, regarding the viability of the America's Cup race, can you ask your guest to address the concern that AC-72 sailboats are not viable to race on the San Francisco Bay, as evidenced by the capsize and struggle to recover Oracle's boat on the 16th of October and destruction of its mainsail last year? If there are no changes, why will this not happen again? And what about the Sailing Magazine Latitude 38 suggestion to use Mod 70's boat, which are more viable instead? We're getting a little tech talk
here. I'm only familiar with 25-foot boats myself.
We'll go to another caller. And that's you, Bobby. Hi.
I had a question. Supervisor Avalos keeps mentioning that this race is going to benefit businesses and keeps saying as if that's a really bad thing. And I wanted to ask him, why is that so bad? You know, who does he think is working at these businesses? Who does he think is getting the tax revenue from these businesses? So from my point of view, business is doing well. It's great for San Francisco.
Well, we're actually putting on events, subsidizing event to support big businesses, and that's what the big selling point is. Actually, I like economic activity, and I think that we should see it when we actually make these investments that we have a broader impact, not just supporting our hotel industry and our you know, Larry Ellison and what he would like to get out of this event. I think that there's not enough thought about how we actually spread that impact to support small businesses in our neighborhoods and areas of San Francisco that need support as well.
And Bobby, I thank you for the call. And to go to another email directly here, here's Devin, who says, this America's Cup fiasco is a travesty. The idea that San Francisco would spend $18 to $20 million on a billionaire's boat race at a time when City College is in crisis, renters, families, and artists are being pushed out of the city by rising rents in Muni is still a disaster, boggles the mind. Where are the priorities? We're giving Twitter a tax break while we're losing our middle class to high-end condos and fancy restaurants. I can only hope that these revelations lead to a reexamining of the mayor's rush to get the new Warriors Arena built. We need to read the fine print, not just scream, go, go, go. Any comment from either of you?
Actually, I would concur with a lot of that was said in that email. I'm really concerned that we're putting on an event, but we're putting on the people of San Francisco. We're not actually looking at a sustainable economy that's actually going to lift the votes of working people in the city. And we're seeing when we give these subsidies, including tax breaks, that the impact is that we're making a city that works more for the wealthiest. And we're not thinking about how do we actually support communities that need to stay here. Generations of San Franciscans are seeing they have they lose their house, they're out of the city. And how do we create a city that works for
well, all? Since you mentioned sustainability, I want to get Pete on as our next caller. Peter, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Hi. Ms. Sullivan mentioned the sustainability aspects of the event. And as a resident who lives very close to where the event takes place, I noticed, you know, dozens of large diesel generators pumping out, you know, massive amounts of pollution and things of that nature. I also do see little bits of sustainability tied in, which I truly appreciate. I feel like the event is missing an opportunity to really promote sustainability on the level of at least where the city wants to promote sustainability, or more so on the level of being very progressive in this day and age. And I wanted to hear Ms. Sullivan's comments on that.
Well, I was speaking really to the sort of city's legacy of sustainability that's coming out of the event. There are some sustainability aspects. There's a Healthy Oceans project that the event authority is doing. But I think that, again, for the city legacy of this is that we were able to, you know, put some programs into place that had been dreamed of for a long time that either weren't funded or just didn't have the impetus to get it going. I think the Pier 70 clean air is a good example of that. That was a mitigation that we had to do because we took the power supply out of 2729 for the new cruise terminal to be built. So when that comes back online, we have an enormous net gain now in the city on shoreside power.
Jane, we got seconds left. Why is this good for San Francisco, America's Cup?
This is good for San Francisco economically. It's good for San Francisco for the visitor profile. It's good for San Francisco for jobs. And it's going to be a spectacular event focusing on our bay this summer.
Thank you. Good luck. I hope it is. Jane Sullivan, city spokesperson for America's Cup. John Avalos, supervisor, District 11. We have another half hour coming your way. We're going to talk about a new film, a new documentary all about the environmental movement. So stay where you are. You're listening to Forum on KQED Public Radio. I'm Michael Krasny.